Hello and welcome back to Down the Slope. Another week, another victory for the Hibees. And we are joined, it's a bit of an eclectic mix today. We've got Ewan back as always. Ewan, how are we getting
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Obviously, you've not introduced our other two participants tonight, but I feel like getting included on like one of your away days, like in the car,
on?
just missing your sister.
Hey, and yeah, as Ewan alluded to, we've got Craig returning as well. Craig, how are we getting on?
Not bad, not bad.
Hey, and Craig's done a good enough job. We thought, you know what? Let's throw his brother in there as well. You know when we sang John McGinn, he was all right. So we thought, you know what? Fuck it. Let's get Paul McGinn involved. And then, you know, Stephen McGinn. No, screw him. He's shite. But we've got our very own Paul McGinn on the show. Mikey, how are we getting on, mate?
I'm not doing too bad, mate. I'm not too bad.
Nice. How good is Mrs. McCurdy's sausage sandwiches, though? Because John McGinn's mum's sausage sandwiches are supposed to be dynamite.
Do you know about the quality of sausages that we've got in this household? So I'd like to think ours are better.
Yeah, the butcher family, they definitely do good, big, meaty sausages. Anyway, Mikey, you have joined us. And as always, when we get a new person on the pod, we ask a nice question. So for you, who's your favourite manager of your lifetime? They have to have managed a game during your lifetime that you can remember. So who's your favourite manager?
I mean, the manager when I first started going to watch Hibs games was Tony Mowbray. And it's hard to look past Mowbray, but the sort of, for the actual games wise, the second half of that first season back up under Neil Lennon is unrivaled. It was class. You were going to games and you knew you were seeing entertainment, lots of goals conceded, goals scored. It was fantastic. So probably have to go with Lenny.
And you know, I know you're alive, but are you turning in your grave that Mikey said Neil Lennon is his favourite manager?
No, I'm not, because I'm not an advocate for him coming back. But that period was a massively enjoyable period as a Hibs fan. Mikey saying that there though, it made me think, and it was something I'd seen earlier on. Do you know we were actually only 2 points further away from third last season than we were under Lennon that season? We finished 5 points off of third last season. We finished 3 points off of third that year. Like, you know, like, obviously the points tally and from the standard of play from all the teams involved, but you know, just context daily, it's crazy.
So what you're saying is
value was unrivaled as well with Lenny. You were never short of a
I'm saying is Lee Johnson
point.
Clearly, Harry.
Hey. And then Craig, managers yourself, do you think Mikey's on the right track?
I'd probably give him that one, to be fair. Mowbray was good as well. I can't remember too much about Mowbray, but under Lenny was probably my favourite time watching Hibs. And even if me and Mike were actually talking about it the other day, even when you had a really shit game, it was still entertaining. Like Morton 0-0 at home, one of the worst games I've ever seen. And then out of nowhere, Lenny's throwing punches at everybody.
That's the thing though, eh? Like, I do agree. I think we were probably all maybe just a little bit too young to fully appreciate the sort of Tony Mowbray era, and you know, like, we were all there, but the Lennon sort of 4 or 5 months, however long it was probably the most enjoyable. But I have to say, I did enjoy Alan Stubbs in the Championship more than I did Lennon. I know we actually won the league under Lennon, but the football that season in the Championship was pretty shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was workmanlike at best, you know what I mean? And there was points of the season where Dundee United and Falkirk pushed us, you know, like, if it wasn't for that sort of last minute winner from James Keaton, I remember in the Falkirk game, you know, it was going to be quite an interesting run-in as well, you know. But so I think Stubbs is probably up to Harry, because there's a lot to be said about just winning games, you know, like, regardless of whether you were in the Championship or not, that did get a real good feeling back into the club. Obviously peaked with the cup win, and then Neil Lennon was able to sort of come in on the coattails of that, similar to how John Collins did with Mowbray.
It's a shame we've not got Chris on, because obviously he would have said that Nick Montgomery was his favourite manager. But I'm sure he can come on and tell us that in weeks to come. But boys, just to say, we've had two games since we last recorded. Ross County, I was a lot of emotions that were on the negative spectrum of emotions. So we're not going to talk about the Ross County game because I will either get very angry or very sad very quickly. That was not good. However, the weekend came. We were probably all slightly down in the dumps, but probably confident that we'd beat Livingston. And Mikey, we flew out the gates, beat Livingston 3-0, and we just terrorised them for that first half hour.
Oh, it was class. I actually missed the first goal because I couldn't get find a parking space. And I was coming out of the concourse right as I heard the roar, and I just saw them running away celebrating. But the way we came out in that first half was how you want to see us play against those type of teams at home, because we were unbelievable. I thought one of the biggest things that I thought I noticed was the positioning of Jordan Obita for that first 25, 30 minutes. He was playing as like a second striker, because he was always up and around the box and doing things, and that's what we want to see. So yeah, it was class. It was really, really good.
And Craig, the word that's like tenacity, it was like just this all-encompassing energy it felt like Hibs had in that opening half. It felt like everything we'd done, we just couldn't really go wrong. Is there any words that jump out when you think about that opening segment of the game?
I don't know. All over them like a rash. It's not a word, but it's a phrase. Mate, we just dominated them. Real intensity. I was quite happy to see, well, obviously happy to see it, but recently I feel like we've pretty much always been a second half team. Like all, even sort of, well, since the St Mirren game, obviously. But if you take Inverness away, Celtic at home, and a number of other, basically all the games have been second half. It's always our best work's always been done in the second half. So it's nice to see us come out the traps fast and get about a team. And like I say, we were just all of them like a rash, really went at them. And I think most of our forward players had a outstanding first half. I don't really think there was anybody that was sort of even scratching below par.
Hey. And Ewan, there's a famous John Collins three-word phrase that described especially the first and second goal. Hit me with it.
Passing, the moving, the tempo. Joe, you know, funny, Liam tweeted the video. I don't know when he done it. I don't know if it was after the game, during the game, or whatever, but I liked it and I didn't even click on the video. You know, like, because it's just, you know what it is. Like, no, the first two goals, and I think you're probably doing the third goal of disservice to Harry as well. It's another fantastic goal.
I think it's a fantastic goal, but yeah. I don't think, like, it was more like pass moving tempo for me. Yeah. It's like a passing move, whereas that was like a flowing counter attack. But anyway, you talk me through the goals.
Three top quality goals. The first goal, really nicely worked. Actually, probably. We got a little bit, I think Lafondra gets a little deflection, which is how it lands up in the path of Newell to work it wide. But, that was the second. No, first goal? Oh, I can't remember. No. Oh, I don't know.
First goal was the second goal, wasn't it?
That must have been the second goal, because that was for Juan's cross him. But no, look, they were carving copies, really, of each other, the first and second goal. Hibs probably had 15, 20, if not more, passes, worked the ball nicely through the phases. It'd be interesting to see, you know, how, like with Monday Night Football and stuff, they'll go back and really show the outset of a move. It felt like everyone had touched the ball, you know, in the build up to both goals. Like, it was just really, really good play, really clever play. First goal, obviously, Jordan Obita gets himself in there, which, like Craig said, he found himself a lot higher up the pitch, which he was far too deep against Ross County away. So it was good to see him, and a little bit of tenacity, obviously, to follow up and get the goal. Second goal, really similar. Superb pick out from Ellie Yuan, good finish. Third goal again, Yuan, fantastic. Him and Cadden, for me, looks like the best that we've got on the right hand side. I think you've seen a massive difference with Chris Cadden playing there over Lewis Miller at the weekend. And now, three top quality goals, Harry. Top quality goals.
Nice liquid football. And I think there's so many, we don't often get a chance to just go through the team and just kind of highlight all our great performances. So we all just pick a player each and we just talk about how great they were at the weekend, because that'll fill me with some joy. Mikey, you're our guest. You can get the pick of the bunch. Which player at the weekend would you give man of the match, or just instantly jumps out at you as having a good performance?
I would say after the, he's probably his couple of poorer games for us, I would say Jordan Obita. He was, especially in that first half, he was like unbelievable, and I was saying to Dad in the shop earlier on that that's how I feel like we want our fullbacks to be able to play, is to be up there, and especially when we're playing at home, adding more to the attack than we have done recently. I was thinking it was kind of like how you see Celtic and Rangers fullbacks playing, where they're not necessarily thinking about having to defend, and they're there. And he's got such bags of ability that he could be such an asset for us in those forward areas. So yeah, I would say it'll be a
Craig, the floor is yours.
I'm gonna pick Yuan, Eli Yuan. I thought he was excellent, really good. After, do you know what? It's actually Bex always says to me, she always advocates for Yuan, always goes on about how he always gets goal contributions, which is absolutely a fair point to make about him. But sometimes I think maybe goal contribution shouldn't just come at the detriment of the rest of the team. And sometimes I think he lets himself down maybe defensively. But I think when you have as good a game attacking wise as what he had at the weekend, you kind of get away with it, to be fair. Something different that I noticed, I don't know if it was an instruction, if he was just finding himself there during the game, but I noticed him dropping in off the wing and kind of picking the ball up in the centre of the park quite a lot. I can't remember if it led to one of the goals or a chance or something, but I remember one particularly where he picked the ball up, sort of where you would expect maybe Marcondes to be, and then drove with it a wee bit. But no, I would say Yuan. I wouldn't say he was man of the match, but really not far off it, because there was a number of good performers at the weekend. So no, I've been critical of him recently, but fair play to him, I thought he was excellent.
Yes.
No, Yam was fantastic in the instance that Craig was talking about. Lafondre got a good shot off, timed his pass perfectly. But it's a toss of a coin for me for the two midfield players. They were both fantastic, Joe Newell and Chiantis, from minute one. But I'll probably go for, oh, I really want to say Joe Newell, but people probably expect me to do that. So I'll go Chiantis, was superb, Harry. I think you've seen the other side of his game. He never really had to do too much of the traditional number six, traditional defensive midfielder work, if that makes sense. But what he did do got himself out of tight situations a lot. You know, neat turns in and out of the ball, and his distribution, you know, not looked at sort of any numbers or anything like that to back it up, but he feels like he distributes the ball incredibly well for a younger player, but also someone that's maybe more naturally a centre back still. But superb game, and just dovetailed so nicely with Joe Newell in the middle of the park. Who, yeah, Joe Newell had a fantastic game as well. Which sometimes, you know, when other players will steal the limelight, Joe Newell still keeps pulling all the strings. And when he plays well, Hibs play well.
I think that was a beautiful summary of two players that played very well. Just to say, I hate to bring an air of negativity, but it's one thing that doesn't annoy me just about Montgomery, but all the Hibs managers in recent years seem to want to have a go of playing players outside of the correct positions. And I think that the one thing that we really saw the benefit of at the weekend was playing everybody in their correct position, i.e. Marcondes up front against Ross County, for want of a better term, was a joke. And the fact that we actually had a striker up there against Livingston, in my opinion, if we started with the same team that we started Ross County, I don't think we'd come out the gates at all. I think that just having a player that knows how to position himself and pull the players apart, like Al Lafondre done, and I think that having Marcondes a bit deeper so he can actually impact the game was so important to how we actually played. So for me, actually putting players in their correct positions was lovely to see. And Triantis, I completely disagree that he just seems a natural at defensive mid. Nothing, there was no positives from, in my opinion, of him being at centre back when he played there. It might just be that he had a rough couple of games when he first came in, but I think that he just looks a proper natural
Did you
defensive
say you
midfielder to me.
disagree with me?
Yeah, you said that you think he's a natural centre back, and I
No, I said
wholeheartedly.
he was playing in a position that maybe hasn't been more natural for, like, to him, like in the
So, oh,
sense
sorry,
that
I
he
thought you
played.
said that he was natural.
No, I
That's
thought
okay, sure.
no,
Well,
like just
I was okay, thank you. I was annoyed and I wanted to call that out, so that's good.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, and then one player we didn't touch on, as you say, I think the likes of Joe Newell and Lafondre kind of speak for themselves. Rocky and Fisher, another good game, but for me, I thought that Cadden was brilliant. I think that the energy that he has for a guy that's just come off a really tricky injury, was really impressive. Was it the third goal that he carried the ball like 50 yards and just instigated the whole attack? That was so satisfying. I love it when a player comes back from injury and has a massive impact straight off the bat. So, guys, we've listed about seven players here. Magic stuff. Magic.
There's
Unbelievable.
probably, sorry, there's probably a conversation to be had about Chris Cadden versus Lewis Miller as, a defensive right back. And I've God, going back probably about 2 years or something, me and Liam sort of spoke about it at length. And but going forward in a game where Hibs are expected to win, then it's a non-contest for me. Chris Cadden's more direct. He's quicker on the ball. He's quicker in his way of thinking. Crosses from deep can hit the byline. It's not a slant on Lewis Miller. He has had a good season, but it's against your Livingstons and stuff like that. But Chris Cadden would be starting it right back for me every single day of the week. I don't know what the other guys think.
I was thinking about this earlier on. I think we've got now a really good balance between the two of them for different games, because there's going to be different games that, like Ewan just said, the games where we're expected to win and we're going to be on the front foot, Chris Cadden, I think, is a better suited to that than Lewis Miller. But the games that it's going to be more difficult, maybe you're not expecting to have as much of the ball, then I think Miller is better suited. You've got the option. We saw it at Celtic Park when he in one of his first starts last season, that we were the over the top ball or diagonal ball to him at back posts or in the box, is we didn't utilize it anywhere near as much as we could have. Me and Craig have spoke about this a few times. So I think in different games you've got two really good options there. I don't think one is n neither of them are ideally suited to every type of game that we're going to be in. But I think having the both of them is a really good op well, gives us really good options.
Big any add on to that?
Not too much. No, I think they both summed it up really well. The only thing I would add on to is what Mikey said about the sort of long balls diagonals to Miller. It also kind of frustrates me. I know we want to play nice football, but I think it's sometimes good to have another option there. And I think sometimes we need to use that more. It's the size of the guy, he's big, powerful guy. Almost, I think we should be sort of using him as a Sean Rooney-esque
Totally,
type of player.
yeah. I think
So.
it's interesting you mentioned that as well. Like the Celtic game at home, I thought in the first half we were trying to play out the whole first half, and Celtic caught us out a few times. Second half, we just Miller was our out ball all game. Marshall hit him for just about every goal kick, and it ties in nicely with what you were saying about Hibs being a second half team. It feels like in the second half of games, maybe it's because we feel like the other teams are maybe going to come on to us a bit more, but we all of a sudden do start like hitting it out to the fullback quicker, whereas in the first half of every game it feels like we never do it. It's just it's and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
If you
it's
go
just
back
a
a lot of our
perception
games, like,
thing, but
sorry, if you go back a lot of our games recently, I kind of think to name them all, but if you go back, most of them, you've seen the vast majority of them, it's like we've played much better in the second half. I don't know why that is, but
absolutely.
it just seems to be a profile of the team.
Well,
And
you just have to look at the last game at Easter Road, Harry. The Ross County game, it was almost a polar opposite of what we've seen against Livingston. Both Livingston more comfortable than Ross County, but probably had a good half hour in both of them and 60 minutes of control without doing much else in the rest of it. You know what I mean? Whereas it just happened against Livingston that happened to be the opening half hour, whereas Ross County it was the closing half hour, which definitely keeps you on your seat a little bit more after watching an hour of mundane football. But we'll call it control.
hey. And then, sorry, just one last thing on the Cadden Miller thing. I don't know if there's a weird comment to make about a right back, but to me, Miller just seems like a big game player. Like, he's the type of player that when it comes to Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, and even like Aberdeen, he's the type of player that will do well in physical situations, and he's not shy of like giving the wee shoves in the back of the wee like nudges with the
Yeah.
elbow. And I think that type of shithousery doesn't really get you anywhere against like not the less difficult games on the calendar per se.
Yeah.
So I think personally, I agree pretty much. Eight of the teams that we play will start Cadden, and
There
then the
is
other three will bring in Miller every once in a while.
always an option, Harry, as well, that you just play both of them and like I love Elihu, but away at Ibrox, do I want him starting right wing? When maybe he's going to get the ball 30 yards for own goal, and he could just try one step over too many or that. Like I think a more direct style in the games, just having Miller at right back, let him defend, and Cadden can obviously cover the ground. Like maybe not too dissimilar to maybe what you see with Scotland, sort of having the Tierney and obviously it's a different formation, but having the sort of two full backs that operate well and dovetail well, I think that could work as well. Because Chris Cadden, for probably his entire career before he came to Hibs, played in midfield and then the final third, and then we just converted him at right back.
I was going to say last time I was on, we were having, who was it? Oh, it was maybe after Boyle went out or something, and we were thinking about who we'd pick to put in the team at right wing. And I was going to say Cadden, but I didn't because I didn't want to get slaughtered or anything. I thought I was going to get abused if I said Cadden at right wing. But I think when you see him going forward, like I think he would be a good option there. Do I want him starting there every game? No, I don't. But it's another option.
He's one of those weird players when it comes to playing out wide because he's just like he screams like right midfielder. Like you don't
Yeah,
really want him
traditional,
in
more
one on one.
traditional, eh?
Yeah, you don't want him one on one with the fullback, but you always want him in a position where he can overlap and just hit the byline and smack it back across the box. But yeah, let's get some of our lovely listeners sent in their man of the match from the other day. So we got Fab Rav. He said Triantis. Leah said Alf for me. Mikey, you count these up as we go. David said Newell, top class performance. Stuart said Joe again. Newell. He seemed to be everywhere. Jason said Captain Joe, excellent. You ended well. Malida, different gravy altogether though. Malida, we didn't even mention the man. He scored again. He's on fire at the moment. Ewan, talk to me about Malida. Your face doesn't tell me that you're as happy as my voice sounds.
No, look, delighted, mate. Like he is literally. I think him and Lafondra now are tied top league goal scorer. And he's been here since fuck, it's middle of January. Not even the middle of January, really, but the end of January. But I didn't think he was great at the weekend. You know, like I know that's like it goes against. It's a comfortable 3-0 win, but I don't think he had a scintillating game, probably. As seen by the fact he got taken off in the 55th minute, but real good finish, really good finish, fantastic player, and you know nothing against him. Everyone's entitled to, you know, really not being at it for a game, and if you're not at it and you still score, then that's good enough for me. Also,
I'll
then
be
Joe
that.
Newell won that because he was the only player that got more than
I
one.
was going to say, I only counted multiple votes for Super Joe, so.
We had some others, just a couple other opinions, and then we'll dive in. There's not really much to talk about for the rest of the game, is there? Do you want to cover that off? Any highlights of the second half?
The only other thing I would go back to with you is I think I've noticed him and Malida have struck up a really good bond with each other, and I think having Malida there is getting better out of Yuan than we've seen in previous months. Because I've noticed, not to go back too much to the Ross County game, but I see up until the last play I was about to put in our group chat that. He had his work rate was far, far better tracking back than it has been recently
Until he didn't.
until he didn't. But it was I don't know if it's just coincidences. Well, it can't be coincidences. Malia's came to the team. They have a good partnership with
No,
each
you're
other.
right. You're right. And yeah, I don't sign up to the narrative that Yuan's lazy defensively. I think he does put the yards in. I don't think he does it very effectively. You know, I don't think he's a good defender, but like. The goal at Ross, he is there. He just switches off. You know, like
Nice.
he is actually in a good position. He is goal side with about 5 yards at his head. You know what I mean? Like he got 5 yards in his pocket. He can see him. Maybe he just gets caught ball watching. He's not paying
Just an
attention.
attacker
Whatever.
defending.
It's awful, by the way. Like I know I'm not making excuses. You're a football player. Be aware of your surroundings. Understand the game. But like the stick is unbelievable. Honestly, unreal. You can't tell me that Malida does more defensively, Marcondes does more defensively, Gerr does more defensively, because they don't. It's just for whatever reason, it's stuck in the head, really, Johan, and it's fucking does my tits in.
Jair doesn't do much attacking as well as defensively, so.
By the way, Harry, I know you said didn't know anything else to talk about Livy, the treatment he got for Livy on Saturday. Wow. The referee.
Craig, Craig's
Yeah.
speaking about Jair attacking. Nobody's talking about Livy attacking Jair. My goodness, the man got
Uh,
absolutely walloped.
Jamie Brandon got away with one, and he just done the exact same thing 2 minutes later and got booked. And I think Jason Holt done Livy were, but I don't know. No, that was disgusting. Where's Jair? I thought it was so bad. And at the time, I didn't think it was targeted, but then see at the end of the game, right? And I might be thinking this, and I might be going off on a tangent here. You know, I could be so wrong, right? But Gers obviously, like, he's crouching on the ground, obviously. Maybe had the wind taken out of him, knackered, whatever. Martindale actually went over, made a point of going over to speak to him, and he was probably with him for a good minute or two. While the Livi fans fighting the players, Martindale's talking to Gea. And I was like, what could he be saying there? You know what I mean? Because he's not convincing them to play for them in the championship next season. So, like, as he said there, look,
Unlucky.
He's trying to do a
sorry.
deal.
Like, as he said, look, sorry, like, you took a. You know what I mean? Like, because why else would you spend that much time with Tavares? I just thought it was weird, but he got punted for pillar to post, honestly, when he came on Saturday. And it was Livi, the ref, and Livi ended up six of their starting 11 got booked, I think. But they were murder. They were really bad. Looked like a team that had been sick all week, but they lost the head in the second half, I felt like. But it seemed quite targeted as far as I'm concerned. Gerard was maybe he's the only one they could catch, but like he was just getting absolutely booted. It was really poor, really poor.
He might not be far off with him trying to get him for next season, because he has to be planning for next season now, because they're gone now, I think. That's
What was this? I think he said after I don't go at my work relegated. Well, you might do in a couple of weeks' time, right?
it's not far off now.
And maybe he can like go and shop it. What's one? Is it Primark he was shopping at before?
Primark
Where'd
guy.
you go from there? I don't even know. I
TikTok
don't even
shop.
know. Go to the thrift shop. You can that Macklemore song with a couple of pimp jacket on in that class. Well, in Martindale. But interesting question came in from Aki. He said, "Is Nectar a better six already than Jimmy Jeggle?" Yes.
Yes.
He also
Yes, move
asked.
on.
He also asked on a serious note, that's he knows it was a joke. What's the thoughts on A, the statement made by Hibs earlier this week? I'm assuming that's in reference to potentially cutting Celtic and Rangers moving forward. Craig, any thoughts on that?
Not too much. I think probably more's made of it than needs to be made of it, purely because of the teams that it's going to be affecting. Obviously, they're big clubs, but they make some amount of noise when something goes against them. I think they'll moan about it ultimately. What they don't understand, or seem to don't understand, is that it's the Hibs' choice whether how many tickets they want to give to other teams, whether we sell them or not. They're always going about, oh, you're losing out on money, and it's like, well. That's our money to lose. You just mind your own business.
But any day anyway, mate, we're loaded.
We're loaded Bill Foley dollar dollars. But no, sometimes I go to myself, oh, we're better off with the money. And then other times I kind of switch on that and go, no, well, fuck them. That's maybe going to give us a wee bit of a better chance in the game. Ultimately, it shouldn't, but sometimes does. The atmospheres play, in my opinion, a big part in football, and sort of momentum can come from the atmosphere. So, no, I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of us actually doing something about it. The what about it has been unbelievable since it. We all just need to admit that there's an issue in Scottish football, whether that be throwing things from the Hibs fans, or all fans throw things for that matter. We've got an issue with it, and other clubs in Scotland have got issues with that and other things. So, I don't hate it. I just hope the derby's unaffected by it.
That's it for me, Harry. Like, first thing I'll say is I do lean on the side of supporting it as a, and I think it's right that the club have made a stance on it. The Rangers have Ranger look, they didn't name Rangers or Celtic for that matter in the statement, but Rangers fans obviously took it very personally and decided to react to it, even though they weren't named. They've been. Look, if I was on the Hibs board, do I want 3,000 people hoping and chanting on probably my top earner dying on the pitch? Do I want 3,000 people singing the Billy Boys just after our owners died? I don't think so. You know, like, and sometimes there's a price to pay. And for Hibs, I mean, in terms of financial, the only thing that worries me is could it start a trend to where the derbies aren't full? And I know they've said that they won't be affected now, but you've seen it in Glasgow. You know, it happened there. It happened there overnight. You know, it went from 0 to 100 real quick, or 100 to 0, as the case may be. But I would be worried that, you know, you're now on that slope of cutting allocations and what what happens if the Hearts fans come in and then sort of behave, if you like, the way that Hibs fans did at Tynecastle. Are Hibs almost then back to a corner to go, well, we have to do the same again? Like, it's, I don't know. I just, there is a bit of a worry about it for me, but hopefully the bright side of it is Hibs getting to the top six, get some momentum going through the end of this season, and then by the time we first play one of them next season, maybe we start, we sell out half the South Stand, you know, and then, I mean, it's probably not going to happen. And by the way, it will look so bad in the split when, because if we finish top six, we will get Celtic at 12:30 on a Saturday. We've only had two games on Sky. It's been kept aside so that they can show that game at Easter Road in the split. And it will look horrendous when half the away stands empty, the East Stand, the main stand, the famous five. But I don't care. Like, if Hibs think it's the best thing to do by ourselves, then they're doing the right thing. I just do have a slight worry about what could happen in the future with the derby.
And Mikey, a slightly different question for you, because this is my take on it. But at the moment, Hibs can do whatever they want. But surely the SFA should put some form of rule in. Like, there should be an agreement at the start of the season as to how much away fans are allowed. Because surely it impacts, like, if we take away from the side that fans are arseholes, if every single set of fans was just a neutral fan of a club, they didn't have any personality, they just went to games and supported the team, they didn't do anything stupid and went. Surely, as Craig mentioned, like, atmosphere definitely plays a part in football to a certain degree. Surely it impacts on the sporting integrity for teams to just be like, no, we're having less fans, we're having no fans. That's what I always think about. People always disagree with me. What do you think, Mike?
I think there should be, in for example, and I know in the cup, there's you have to give a certain amount of your stand to the away fans, but I think in the league there should be some sort of minimum. We don't really have any other barometer other than the Old Firm games to know what it's like having zero away fans. And I know from when I've watched the Old Firm games when there's been no away fans at it, I think it's rubbish. I don't think there's this. There, well, it definitely isn't the same atmosphere. And I know if I was at the game, I was looking at it, if it was Hibs Hearts and there was no Hearts fans, and if we were beating Hearts at Easter Road, I wouldn't enjoy the game as much. I just wouldn't, regardless of how well we're winning. You want that back and forth between the fans to make the atmosphere, and it just the I think the throwing the toys at the pram and saying we're not having anybody, which is not what we have done in that statement, isn't good. And especially for the Old Firm games, when they're the showpiece games that we're from our game that we're shown on TV, to have zero away fans, I don't think does us any favours at
It's
all.
ridiculous. And Harry, it absolutely was due to sporting performance. Rangers got sick fed up again, their pants pulled down at Celtic Park and having however many thousand fans in, is it in the Broomland stand that's behind. That is why they done it. Rangers fans got sick fed up of it, so they reduced it. And then what Rangers done was they took advantage of the COVID situation and said because of safety they can't get it, and obviously Celtic are going to retaliate. Like, I was listening to something the other day where a Rangers fan was saying there was probably, it was mainly because Rangers fans were fed up of it, but it was something to do with the fact that, like, you know, the sort of quality of the away end that they got at Celtic Park wasn't as good versus what they were getting with being behind the goal and all that. But again, for sporting reasons, you know, like being tucked away in a corner versus right behind the goal. But you're spot on with that, Harry. Like, there should be minimums, but I always thought there was. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe the police, like, are saying for safety reasons or what, but I don't see the Old Firm ever going back to how it was. Rangers have sold season tickets behind that stand for games that include the Old Firm. How are you going to tell X amount of thousand people? So I don't see the Old Firm games ever going back to what it was. But frankly, they can do what they want. Edinburgh Derby wise, I just hope Hibs and Hearts sort of stay strong in the sense that, because there will be police officers. Like, I would imagine Police Scotland would be delighted if Hibs and Hearts reduced their away allocations. Personally.
Ah, screw those guys, we're on the cabbage.
Right.
Anyway, let's chat about some slightly happier things. Ake also said, what do you think about the SFA asking Hibs to make a case for strict liability? I don't like the concept just on the basis of I think that you could potentially get fans that would go and intentionally do shit just to get
Absolutely,
games
mate.
deducted points. So I
Absolutely.
think that's a
I think
very
that's why it's
tricky.
not in at the
Yeah.
moment. That's why they've not done it. So.
Like, I know so many Hearts fans at Nick Cardigan's that would 100% go and use their needles for naughtiness in the Hibs end to try and get Hibs deducted points, and it wouldn't be good.
You are right, though. Like, that is, like, it was the Terrace I was listening to, and then someone said they were talking about the whole thing, and the guy said, he was like, imagine you went and done something and it cost you, you know, imagine we went to a Hearts game and they were having a bad season and you bought a ticket and someone just launched something on the pitch and they got deducted 3 points, that meant they got relegated. You'd be seen as a fucking hero. You wouldn't be able to go back to Easter Road, but everyone fucking love you. You know, like, and there is idiots out there that would think that way. Like, it's strict liability, I don't think, is a starter. I think it's something that Hibs are, if I was being honest, I think Hibs are probably seen to try and push it so that they can say, well, look, we're willing to take a hit for our own fan behaviour. You know, almost as like a, well, we're not ignoring our side yet. But again, I think it was on the Terrace, they said only 3 or 4 of the clubs, when it was last mentioned of the entire 42 in the league, were in favour of strict liability. So I don't think that's something that we'll see anytime soon. Because you cannot control a crowd of, like, you know what I mean? Like, as much as you want to, Harry, if you went to a game with the intention of throwing something, as much as that even as your mate that stands with you, I couldn't stop you from doing that. Never mind a fucking CEO sitting up in hospitality, you know what I mean? Like, it's a non-starter as far as I'm concerned, strict liability.
I agree. I think there's too much emphasis on it being like a certain club's fault, or like, oh, it's Hibs fans, or it's Hearts fans, or it's Celtic fans, or Rangers fans, whatever. It's at the end of the day, it's just arseholes. They're people. They need to make their own decisions, and they need to realise that what they're doing is stupid. So I think ban them and get them sorted rather than doing the clubs a disservice for it. The clubs, can the clubs do more to promote better behaviour? Probably, yeah. And I think that's probably something that they should do. But at the end of the day, we're talking about adults here that are throwing bottle openers onto a park. Like, just grow up.
Crazy, mate. It's absolutely crazy.
And could you imagine Rangers taking it to the SFA when someone's thrown a flare and it's just missed the pitch and they're trying to, like, get Hibs deducted points for it? Couldn't they start
get the lines out to see if sad lads at the pitch or
VAR. Oh no. But boys, as
the
I
whole
say,
player, didn't they cross the line?
Oh god, no, please. But as I say, not really too much to talk about for the rest of the Livingston game. So I just thought the next three games are pretty massive, boys. If we win the three of them, we're pretty much guaranteed to get top six. Like, Dundee are a bit tricky because they've got 4 games left. One of them's against Rangers, but then they've got 3 games. So let's pretend that they've flopped. If we win our games, we get in. Mikey, how do you expect the next 3 to go? We've got Rangers away, St Johnstone at home, then Motherwell away. What's your prediction for in terms of points for the next 3 games?
I mean, if you're realistic with yourself, you're probably not expecting to go to Ibrox and get anything, with purely from them being still well in the title race. They're going to be well up for it. They're out of Europe now, so they don't have the distraction of that now. So that's all their eggs are in their domestic basket. So I don't think you get anything like that. I think we beat St Johnstone at home. I'd like to say we beat Motherwell away, but just with our away performances, or away results anyway, in the last few, well, I'd like to say we get 6 points out of 9, but my head probably says we get 4. So that's what I probably think is going to happen. Whether that'll be enough, I don't know. I'm not sure of Dundee's games. Like you said, they play Rangers and all that.
So they've got Rangers at home to be rearranged. They've got St Johnstone away when we've got Rangers. They then play Motherwell at home when we've got St Johnstone. And then when we're at Motherwell, they have Aberdeen at Pittodrie. So three games are pretty much the same, albeit at different venues. And then
it's not easy for them either.
But they play every team we actually still play, they play, plus Aberdeen.
Yeah.
So Mike, have you given me a points total out of that?
For us, I would say my head says 4. Heart would like to say 6, but my head says 4.
And is that enough for top 6?
I think it would maybe go down to goal difference.
I have that.
If we both got 4 apiece, Dundee got 4 and we got 4.
I have Dundee getting 5 and us getting 4. which gets us in by a point. I don't expect. I'm not going to budget on points at Ibrox. You don't write the game off. It's not, you know, like going, you know, go and try and compete and get something. I don't envisage. I really. I know this sounds stupid, and it's Craig Levein and the Beatles in the centre. I don't envisage us having any problem at all. It's in home. It's in Johnston. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. I think. I'd not. But like in the same sense that we beat Ross County 2-0, we beat Livingston 3-0. I think at home we're starting to build some. You know, we're doing well at home. And recently, we played well against Celtic and stuff. I think the game against St Johnstone at home, I think we'll win that like 2-0. But, you know, the Motherwell away will be a tricky one depending on their run of results. I think the fact they got beat by Aberdeen, that really does sort of kill them a little bit. But they are only 6 points behind us. So, you know, if they beat Dundee, you know, it could be a fight, you know, winner takes all sort of scenario. Or maybe we actually go there only needing a point, you know, avoid defeat and get in the top six. But I would much rather, Harry, if it's allowed, look above us in the table. If we can win even two of the three games, I think we'll be at least level with St Mirren going into the split, which I would then have us actually having a better goal difference than them, because they have a testy run of games between now and the split. So I know everyone's looking behind us at Dundee, but they, now I might be wrong here, so I'll just double check. I'm sure they have, yeah, Motherwell away, Hearts at home, Celtic away. I think the max St Mirren take is 2 points. I don't think they'll win at Fir Park, and I don't think they'll beat Hearts, and I don't see in any situation that they won't lose at Celtic Park, and with obviously the title running coming. So I think the max points St Mirren take is 2. If we were to take 4, we'd be 2 off them. But if we were to win at Motherwell and win against St Johnstone, you'd be level with them, and due to results, etc., you would have a better goal difference than them. So
it's all to play for, eh?
What I'm actually saying is St Mirren are going to finish bottom half, and it'll be funny as fuck.
You're rough. Greg, are you of the same mindset there?
Yeah, I would. My head probably says 4 points out of the 9, but obviously Motherwell being the draw. But do you know what? Why not? Let's get 6. Let's get 9 actually. I still think the third place is up for grabs.
Do you know? Funny, I know that that's maybe one step too far, but I think this season, maybe, or at least, it's Hibs' fault. But I think come the end of the season, probably similar to last year actually, because we actually done all right in the split. It's going to feel like. See if we just had 2 or 3 more games. Like I think we are starting to see signs of progress. Look, the Ross County dropping the points there, in the grand scheme of things, could turn around to be huge. You know, like if you do win that game, you've got even more breathing space, and you are right on the tails of St Mirren. But see, even if there was just 5 games between now and the split, I'd be looking at it thinking, why can we not catch Kelly? You're only 8 points off of them now, but it just feels like we started to get our shit together, in a pretty solid run of fixtures. You know, you had St Mirren, you had Kilmarnock away, you had Rangers, Hearts and Celtic, and it's like we've come out of that in a okay-ish position, but probably quite hard done by, in a good position as a team, playing good football, winning games of football, but it's like, fuck, there's only 3 games. You know, we've not got any breathing space, we've not got, just, if we were just a little bit quicker in it clicking, or you just got the result that we maybe should have at Tynecastle or at Ross County, you know, like, it's mental, Harry, and I think we could finish 4th, but I think not finishing in the top 6 is a massively realistic outcome as well. Like, it's mental.
Let me break it down for you. We're coming up against a team that striker runs are about like he's wearing jeans. The only thing they've got going for them is the goalkeeper. Jack Butland, fantastic. Apart from that, they're all pish. They are there for the taking, as Motherwell proved to us last week, as Ben who, exactly, proved in the Europa League. Rangers, if the Rangers don't get the referee they've chosen It's our game to win.
Which
We're
they
getting
will.
9 points. We are sauntering. We're going to be fifth by the time it comes to post-split. And we're going to pump Hearts first game after the split. Because I've spoken to the people that make the fixtures and I've said to them I want Hearts first after the split. So they're going to organise that for me. And we're going to be flying, boys. We're going to be flying. And see if it wasn't the thanks to the referees cheating us recently, we'd be chasing
so
Hearts for third.
I was going to say that. Ewan's talking about getting a result here, getting a result. If we'd got a couple of decisions, you're like... It could it's like six
Eight
or eight
points better
points,
off them.
you're better off. It's mental. That's mental.
Yeah, I mean, you are right. But in the derby, we had enough chances still to win the game. Against Ross County, yeah, it was our throw, but go and just fucking defend. Like you are, and I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But there is still games where the referee has done us over as much as we've done ourselves over. You know, like, because, and the thing is, you can. Come the split, we will be where we deserve to be. I genuinely believe that. Because we've shot ourselves in the foot enough this season that you could go, well, we'll see if we didn't get beat by Livy on the fucking first home game of the season. Or see if we didn't do this. Or, like, you know, there's been plenty. But oh, I've got a good feeling that we could finish fucking fourth, but I've got an equally strong bad feeling that we're going to miss the top six altogether.
We're going to have to be really good to finish fourth from now. Because... That's for us to finish fourth. We need to do everything really well, including beating Killie and beating St Mirren. And those teams need to drop points against each other or
I would
whatever.
back
So,
us to beat Killie at home. They've not beat us this season. You know, if we got into the split, Killie haven't beat us this season. We beat them both times at Easter Road and we drew there. No, sorry, beat them once at Easter Road and drew both games there. They've not got. I don't think they'll get in at Tynecastle coming out the break. They then have Ross County at home and St Johnstone away, so probably is games that you'd expect them to take points from, but two teams fighting for their life, you know, you never know. Stranger things have happened, but if you're within... If you get in the top six and you're within 5 points of Killie, then you just need them to lose one game you win and beat them at home. You know, like, that is the nature of the league, and I'm a big advocate for the split. I know a lot of people don't like it. I find the split adds fantastic value to the league. I really, really do. Because even in the title race, I know we're almost venturing more into Scottish football podcast at this point, Harry, than Hibs. But, you know, Celtic and Rangers, it's a tight title race. And if the top six finishes with Hearts, Hibs, St Mirren and Killie, every game you'll be thinking they could potentially drop points. You know, like, I think the split's fantastic when it works in Hibs' favour, i.e. we finish in the top half.
And if it was actually advertised to its fullest extent, but then we would really be venturing into the wrong area. But we're gonna hit two quick fire sections. We're gonna do my game because I'm loving it, boys. So we're gonna keep playing that until I get bored of it. But before we get on to the game, quickly, obviously we're coming up to the we've got an international break. Let's just let this stew. So looking at the season we've had so far, this isn't who you think currently is. This is who you think will win these awards at the end of the season. So when we do our awards at the end of the season, we can come back to this and look at who we've said. Does that make sense? So we're going to do a mini awards. We've got five categories and we're going to say what we think will be the winner at the end of the season. So not who we think it is currently, but who we think come the end of the season will be like, that's the correct player.
Okay.
Understand? Craig, Mikey, nod of the heads.
Is it sort of first...
fan voted?
Pardon?
Do you mean like who's going to be the fan voted best or whatever?
Yeah. Or even if like... If we get you back on for that, because we'll have a big show for that, and we'll get a lot of people on. If you want to come back on that, and then you can say if you agree with yourselves or not. So it's an open to interpretation, Craig. That's how we do. Okay. So first of all, player of the season. Who do you think is going to be player of the season, whether voted or self-confessed player of the season?
Miser Malida.
Wow! From January onwards, goodness. I'll throw a different name in the ring. I'll go Jordan Abita.
That was mine.
Yeah, me and Mikey.
I'll go Johnny Olin.
We can go the same.
Jordan Obia, Harry, for me, gets it if we finish sixth or bottom half. Maizen Maileda gets it if we finish in the European places because, in my opinion, he's hit double figures goals.
Me and you are in the exact same frame of mind. That's exactly what I was going to say. If we... Friends. if we're doing well... Malida will get it because he'll be the guy that'll be the difference and has been the difference since January when, let's face it, before that we were pretty shit in the league, especially. But I would probably still say if you were to look at over the course of a season who's been the best performer consistently, I would say Obita, and I think that will be the case at the end of the season. But I think just for the pure hopeful,
Recency bias for these
just
votes.
difference that it'll make.
Yeah, and attacking tax as well
Always, mate.
always plays
Always.
into those things. Okay, so young player of the season so far. Might come to you first on that
Can we
one,
get an age
Lee.
category, Harry?
I don't know how old the Hibs players are. If you see a name, we can all agree whether or not we consider them to be young.
Okay.
Sure.
God.
Rory
And then.
Whittaker, sorry, while you're thinking, I'll go Whittaker purely on a bait the volume of games that he played, sorry, in that Christmas period. I think that makes him the standout candidate. I don't think there's anyone else.
Will
Wolfish.
Fish, Miller.
I was going to say Will Fish probably is. I mean, he's
Is he
what? I
not
mean,
like
he's
20
still
or something?
20. Sorry, is
Yeah.
he? Oh well, I apologise.
That's the only name, John. I mean, Will Whittaker has been good. I don't think it's not had massive impact on things, whereas Will Fish has been
No,
playing
you're
week
right.
in, week out.
Will Fish has only just turned 21. I'll change my answer to Will Fish. I thought he was older than that.
All right, boys, we need to level with me. Are we considering 23 to be Young Player of the Year category?
I think that might be the limit, by the way, with Hibs.
I'm wrong. I'm personally, I'm going Lewis Miller. I'm Lewis Miller over Will Fish myself.
I think 23 is generous for a young player,
But that
personally.
starting the season is 22.
I don't know if
Right,
I'd go
anyway,
on
we've
that,
got
but.
answers.
All right, there we go. Anyway,
Oh,
comeback player of the season. That's more of an American football term, but I think it's a fun one. Who do you think that we kind of written off and has come back to play very well? I'll mix it up because I think I know an obvious answer. I'll go Josh Campbell. I think he looked really good this year. He kind of gets written off every time he comes back, but I think the spell that he played, he was actually really good. Ewan looks disgusted despite the
spell
fact he
was
was the only
that?
player doing anything for us before he got injured.
Mate, has he played 10 games this season?
Aye, but everybody's going to say Rocky Bashiri, so I thought I'll mix it up and put a different name out there. Sorry for not being beige. Oh, look at me, I'm a Liverpool fan. We got papped at the cup in the 121st minute. Grow up. Mikey, who's your choice?
Like,
I mean, I took the words out of my mouth. It has to be Bashiri. Just been phenomenal since he's come back in the season, and especially we were talking about it at the pod last week. Since he's come back from the Cup of Nations, it's while he didn't get game time over there, he's just went from strength to strength. He's obviously used the experience well, and I done really well. So I don't think there's really anybody else other than him for that one.
Harry,
Yes, mate.
Josh Campbell's played 90 minutes twice this season. Fuck off.
Did he not come on? I thought he played a few
It's a
games, didn't he?
shocker.
Oh, I just like, because I was just thinking any player that came back that actually played all right. Because is there any other player apart from Rocky that you could give that
No,
category to?
I just
Probably
think
to,
he could
well,
be
to
classed as a
Tavares. Well, there
comeback.
you
you go.
Josh,
Campbell
I
has a
mean
reach
this
at
in the night,
having.
Campbell's probably
You give it to
regressed.
Whittaker. He played about 15 minutes. Grow
Aye,
up.
as a 16-year-old buddy on a young player of the year category. Josh Campbell, like, no, aye, Josh Campbell's all right. He's probably had a worse season this season than last season.
Ken, who I think's all right? That I'm a Diallo boy for Man United. I think he's excellent.
Classic.
You're in
all
dangerous
right,
territory here, boy.
Craig. No, I'm joking. He played for a horrible team. I don't
Aye,
like him.
exactly, aye.
Craig, goal of the season. That's a good question. Goal of the season.
Goal of the season. Quality of goal. Maybe I'm gonna give another shout out to Bex and Vanessa Way. Can't remember whose goal it was. So I remember Marcondes flicking it.
Was it Ewan scored?
Maybe
Yeah.
it was Juan
Third
tapping in the
goal,
middle.
aye.
But I'm gonna still say Joe Newell against Luzern in Europe.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's, yeah, that's made it easy for me because I was torn between that and one other one. I'm going to go for the second goal at the weekend. I think that was the pick of the bunch. I think we moved it incredibly well. And Juan instead, it's not just a flash across the box. He picks my lead out in the box and a good finish.
Difficult finish that actually. I feel
Absolutely.
like that kind of went underrated because the ball bounced just before it hits it. To
Aye.
control that is actually a really good
I
finish.
just think when you've not got too many screamers, which I don't think we've had this season,
I think we've had a few, to be
I
fair.
think a well-worked team goal is very pleasing on the eye.
Make any different ones to one side?
I like maybe a bit of a forgotten one almost, it's that long ago, but the first goal up at Aberdeen in that 2-0 win at Pittodrie.
Good shout.
When Dodgy went up after a ball that he shouldn't be going after. Back to I think was it
Newell that
put
let
it
it was
back
Newell that set it down.
and then the finish for Lafondra was
Aye.
class. There's like you said, there's not been we've not had that many really good goals this season, but that for me was
It's a
one of the
good shout,
best.
by the way.
Elliot, if we were trying to just think of it, Elliot Yuan scored quite a good one against the Andorran mob, sort of cutting in off the east stand side, and he just drilled it right into the roof of the net. You know, like anything
Oh,
that goes
yeah.
high in the goal generally always does well in these contests. My lead at Kelly maybe as well.
Just to throw out a few screamers that were no shouting out Malida, obviously at Kelly. Joan Yule at Kelly's was an absolute
Oh, you
belter.
fucker,
By the
aye.
way, and then
How did I
what you
forget
got?
about that?
Levitt against Celtic was an absolute
Nah.
screamer.
Like, it was a good finish, but
I thought that was a classical
Joan
clash.
Yule at
But
Kelly,
Joan
man.
Yule at Kelly.
Joan Yule at
That's
Kelly, end
absolutely
the
not.
conversation.
But my goal, actually, just because I genuinely think, because the first time I saw it, I laughed because I thought it was a bit daft. But the more I've watched it, because I've watched this go back quite a few times, I genuinely think it might be the best bit of skill I've ever seen at a Hibs game. Adam Lafondra's assist
Yeah.
for Dylan Venti against
Yeah.
Luzern. Because see, when you watch that
Stupid, eh?
back, like it is genuinely ridiculous how he's managed to do that. Like I still have no idea what happened, and I still do laugh, but I now appreciate the fact that that
Totally.
was a ridiculously good goal. So that gets my shout, even though it's probably not goal of the season. It's my
There was
favourite goal, so
another
we'll stick
one
with
at the start of the season. I can't remember who it was against. Venti scored it, and it was a Lafondra involved again. Just did a flick around the corner for Venti to score. The actual finish wasn't amazing, but it was the build up to it. There was a couple of quick passes, and then it went into Lafondra, and he just a wee tap with the outside of his foot and perfectly into Venti's feet. And that was class as well. I think it
such an
might be St
intelligent
Johnston.
footballer.
He's so good. I know Harry sort of touched him on when he was talking about the game at the weekend, but unbelievable football player. Genuinely so good, so clever. Still got a good few yards of pace on him. Don't think he's got 90 minutes in him, which is unfortunate, but so good. So clever. Like Harry, you say you can notice the difference say like the Ross County game, and I know it's slander someone that they're not playing, but you could notice the difference from when Venti's playing. He still comes in deep, but he's got the legs to get back into the box, you know, like incredibly gifted football player that's well, definitely made the most of his career, hasn't he?
He knows where to be, and that comes from the amount of games he's played. He just knows where to be. I was thinking about the game at the weekend and with not just Lafondra's goal, but the amount of times that you see football's a simple game. Like you get the ball to the byline or down the wing, and you cross it or cut it back and just to someone to tap in. Me and Craig were talking about this a few weeks ago. I can't remember. It was maybe Man City had scored in six in a game or something,
Aye.
and they were all that same type of goal, like just cutbacks, and that's
It's
what
like
when you do it right.
what everyone says, eh? Like football's become boring. Like, you don't see any screamers now. It is just get to the byline, cut it back, get to. But it's so effective. It's the most. It's like that sweaty wee gimp on FIFA. That was me. That was me back in the day, running one on one with the keeper. Just pass
Cut
it.
back.
I just cut back.
You're talking what you got three clubs legends here, by the way, you and we used to be Stubbs AFC and we'd terrorize the whole country when it came to clubs back on FIFA. However, boys, I was going to ask another category, but sack that question. I'm moving on. Favorite part of the last few weeks, and we're going to do it again, boys. Welcome to Catch You Out. If you're new to this segment, essentially, you just have to guess an answer that I've not provided. So I'm going to give the guys five questions. And each question's a different phase. If you get through all five phases without saying the same answer as me, you win. To confirm, my answers are predetermined. I'm not cheating to catch the guys out. I've got predetermined answers. You can even play at home. So it's great. You and you look like you had a question.
No,
No.
although I do have a question actually. Did you catch me out on the final round of the first one? Am I yet to get through it?
You and failed on the first round. Oh, sorry, the final round of the
And
last
last
the first
is
time we played,
second or
and
third
the
round, I think.
fourth round, I think it was.
No, I think it was earlier than that. I might.
Was
I
it?
think I.
No, it was a fourth round, definitely.
Oh, cheers, buddy.
Mikey, Mikey could compete with you for recall, by the way. It's pretty good, Ewan. But okay, boys. We chatted about some managers. We chatted about Neil Lennon, Alan Stubbs. They both managed in the championship. Just name me a team that we played when we were in the championship, okay? It could be any of the seasons, just whilst we were in the second tier. It has to be like that period
That
though.
run, yeah,
So
okay.
those couple those was it
So
three
Stubbs
seasons
or
in the end?
Lennon? Yeah,
Yeah,
Stubbs or
yeah.
Lennon. Yeah.
Stubbs or Lennon championship years, okay?
Okay.
Craig, give me your answer.
Yeah, I'm going to throw back to my comment earlier about Neil Lennon scrapping, and I'm going to go Morton.
Ewan, what are you thinking?
Cow than beef.
Mike, what are you saying?
Think about him.
And boys, we got Ewan out already. Cow than beef, baby.
Oh,
Honestly, I was so close to going Morton just because Craigan made that comment, but I left it. So genuinely, I'm so sorry, Ewan, but you are out of
that's
there. You're out of
unbelievable.
there. Don't worry, Ewan, you can still keep
I
playing,
tried
see
to
if you
go
can
for
get
the
any
most
more.
obscure one as possible that I could
That's a
think of.
Facebook memory coming into play.
Oh, was it? Oh, aye, because Beck, that was subconscious, yeah. But yeah, oh, that was mental. Anyway, we're talking about young players, we're talking about
Fuck me,
new
man.
players. But boy, just give me a Hibs player that has made a debut this season. Just they've made their full first team debut this season. Can be a player we've signed, can be a player that has always been at the club. Just a player that's at Hibs. Okay. Not that if they've somehow left Hibs during that time, that's also okay. Ewan, hit me.
Rory Worker.
Mikey, what are you saying?
Josh Landers.
Craig, what was him?
The McIntyre that came on at the weekend, Oscar or
Jacob.
Jacob, I can't remember
Jacob.
which one.
Craig, you're through. You're out twice. I said Rory Whittaker. Jesus. I didn't even know
Oh,
this was possible.
he's
This is
down again.
great.
We're playing a different game here. Now I'm playing the game. What's Harry going to say? Let's see if I can get him.
Oh, you know what
Five
it's
out of
like?
five.
It's hard to guess because I do try to like mix the like obvious and then the obscure. So I try to keep everybody on their toes.
Like a penalty shootout. Like what he's like he's dived to the left the last three times, so he's
You
not gonna
guys are
dive
so
that
in
way
sync.
again. So I'll go that way. I'm waiting for the one where Dylan McGeoch could be the answer, and I'll no say Dylan McGeoch this week because he would have said it.
Okay, boys. We all love them. Just give me a Hibs fullback. Give me a Hibs fullback. There's no time cap. If you can think of someone from the 30s that was a fullback for Hibs, you can name them. We can think of someone that started at the weekend that played for Hibs, you can name them. Just give me a fullback. That constitutes left back, right back, left wing back, right wing back. All right, I'll give you if you think of wing back instead of you,
But you're
I'll
not
be
getting
fair. I'll
Dylan
be
McGeoch
fair.
for playing at left back against Falkirk in the
No,
Scottish
you're
Cup
no.
semi.
And just to say, if
Oh,
at any point you give me what I deem an invalid answer as the host, you're out. Okay, so you
no.
can't be cancelled for being stupid. Yeah, Mikey, get Dylan McGeoch thought out of your head. Okay,
Wasn't
Mikey, hit me, full back.
happening. Adam Eckersley.
I think you could be in trouble here, by the way, because he was someone tweeted about
I
him
was.
during the week.
Did they? Oh no.
Craig, what was him?
I think Harry would go for a certain Irishman, so I am going to go with Ryan McGovern.
And Ewan, what are you saying?
Lewis Stevenson.
Also, by the way, went David Murphy. Went David Murphy. When
I
I
was going to
hear
say
left back,
Murph.
oh, when I hear left back, I always go Murphy. But I thought if I put full back, someone might get caught out and give me that.
I
Full
thought you
back's
were
wide.
a, I thought you were in trouble with Eckersley there, like because someone used him as like
Oh.
a Hibs. No, it was like. Tweet someone that you've totally forgot played for your club or something. I thought, oh, I had
Harry's
two for
maybe
that one.
clocked that.
I was going to say him or Reras, other one that would be at Hearts as well.
Ken, who I remembered the other day, I just remembered him randomly when I was at the Cambridge game. I went to a random Cambridge game last week. Chibraya, remember him?
Wait, I was thinking about that the other day. It
Yeah,
was only
he was a
last season
player.
that he played for us.
Aye,
Like,
no, mental. And then we all thought he
shit.
was so good, and he turned out not to be very good. Anyway. Next category. This is when it gets a bit broad. So again, if it's a stupid answer and I disagree with it, out. Give me a gravy Hibs player. When someone says, "Oh, gravy," give me a Hibs player that was
Oh,
gravy or is currently gravy.
that's a tease.
Okay.
It's only one answer this, Harry.
Okay. Well, Ian, you there's only one answer. Hit me.
No, Jimmy
No,
Jago.
I know, I know.
Depending on your choice of listening, Jimmy Jago.
Yeah.
No, right. Who would I go for? I would go for Scott Allen. This would be.
Mikey, who was him?
Who's he?
Craig, who was him?
I'm absolutely toiling, but the only, literally the only one that's coming to my mind under the pressure at the moment is Scott Allen.
You and one of the two guys are out. Who do we think it
That's
is?
well, it's good. I'm not being funny, but it's going to be Craig. If I've he said the same answer as me, so he's out, surely.
Was
That's
genuinely a coin
Mikey.
flip because that was the two players I was thinking of. I was also potentially thinking Marcondes because you could probably say that about him, but I'm afraid to say, Mike, you made it to phase four and you're out of there. You're out of there. Craig, you've made it once again to the final round. How are we feeling?
Excellent.
Is the pressure high? We're rocking and rolling with it.
Literally the only thing that came to my mind in the last round was Scott Allan, so maybe he'll get me out on this next one with the same sort of pressure.
All right, and again, I've made it another nice broad category, but nice broad category. A streets won't forget Hibs player. A
I
streets
hate
won't
this
forget
chat.
Hibs player. Ewan is riled up because he's been knocked out about seven times. So it's understandable.
I don't. Streets won't forget, man. And then they just fucking tweet fucking original Ronaldo. It's like, oh, fuck off. Like, streets
Streets
won't.
don't forget, at
What does
its
that even
peak,
mean?
is Adil Taarabt. Like, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about those players that you're like, oh, yeah, give me some of that.
Who's going first?
Right, Mikey, you seem confident and got an answer. Go for it.
Dominique Malonga.
Solid choice. Ewan, what we're thinking?
I'm going to pay tribute to our fellow contributor Liam and say Dennis Rosa.
Before my time, but I agree. Craig, to win the week, what are you saying? Our streets won't forget Hibs player.
This might be slightly out of the box, but I'm going to explain my reasoning so I don't get disqualified just for saying this. But I'm going to say, like, Alex Harris early when he first started coming through.
That's
Like, how good
perfect.
was he when he started coming through? When you
That's
said
perfect,
Adel
by the way.
Taarabt, that's who
That's
I thought about.
perfect. Streets won't forget
Yeah.
2013 Alex Harris.
Well, boys, unfortunately for me, I thought I was trying to be smart. I thought Boosie was a perfect streets won't forget player. Just with the way that he played football. Like, I think there's a certain swag that you have to have. So I've tried to go Boosie twice because I
Streets
thought
won't
Craig would think
forget one
like,
of the best midfielders in
and
our fucking modern history.
that was also me saying. I thought Craig was going to try and be smart and think Harry's not going to
Oh.
pick the same player back to back. So that was another trap door I set for Craig that he just fucking jumped over.
You thought too highly of my mate.
Yeah, Craig has literally dominated me. He's currently I'm 0-10 against Craig, guys. I need to up my game.
Oh,
Ewan,
don't worry. You're
I think I've
cooking. Yeah,
somehow
you're
got a
cooking
positive
me.
record
You're
against you,
cooking me.
so
Don't
I've made up
worry.
for it somehow. But Mikey, first time on the pod, have we enjoyed ourselves?
Definitely, yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's been good. Good having a
Nice.
wee rant.
Well, pleasure having you on. Ewan, thanks as always for joining us. Craig, you're becoming a regular fixture these days, my
No,
friend.
outrageous. The complaints
Hey.
will be flying in.
But everybody, thanks so much. I think we're gonna have a bit of a fun episode next week. We'll keep you on our toes, we'll do some tweets about it, and we'll might get the guys back on, you never know. But we'll keep you posted, and thanks so much for watching, listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Yes.
Yeah.